Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Sunny 16 podcast. It is episode 338, and it's just brilliant to be here as always. I have my two very wonderful special co-hosts with me today. It's a full house. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Rachel. Graham.
Wonderful and special. Claire's wonderful. I'm special.
You can choose your own title for this, if you like. But it's absolutely brilliant to be able to chat to you both. I actually saw Graham relatively recently, and I think most of what we'll be talking about today will probably cover that. But Claire, obviously you weren't able to be with us at the photography show this year.
Yeah.
Do you want to update us maybe about what you've been up to and why you weren't with us?
Well, I wasn't. It was my birthday on the Friday, so it's like my birthday weekend, so I don't know, I didn't actually do anything, so maybe I could have come.
Wow.
I kept, yeah. So I've got some upcoming photo shoots that I'm planning, so I've been doing that. And look, actually, as we're talking, look at this is one of, and this is for one shoot, this is one of the outfits.
Claire's holding up, oh, she's holding up like a white dress with like a huge, oh my God, I think I had this in 1994. It's got like one huge white long sleeve, and it's a white sort of like shift dress, and it's got feathers around the bottom, feathers on the end of the
sleeve. Yeah, it's like an off-the-shoulder white dress, yeah. Isn't it? With, yeah, like fur around the sleeve and around the edge. And I've ordered one as well, but I don't know what's happened to the black one. The white one's been delivered, so I'm busy putting all that into place.
I've definitely got two of these in my wardrobe from, I think, maybe New York or something.
Yeah. And I was actually late joining you now because big shout out to Bill too. I was too busy looking at his George's picture. He takes a lovely picture. We know Bill too's work for his lovely architectural images and his night photography, but he also does lovely pictures of his dog George. He's super cute, but he, they're really cute pictures. I was actually looking at his images.
So just to clarify, you were, let's just check, that was 45 minutes late to the call because you were looking at dog pictures on the internet. Oh, good. Good.
And having tea.
and eating your roast dinner on a Friday night. Yeah.
I will be cursing you when I'm awake three times in the middle of the night going, where did I get that sleep? Yeah. It's because Claire's a good dog photos. It's he's a very cute little dog. And obviously I know Bill very well. He's one of my patrons, and he often joins for the virtual film development parties each month.
Yeah.
So because he's in Australia and obviously we're in the UK, we're at a very different time of the day. It's often been, oh, don't worry, I'm actually up at stupid o'clock in the morning because I'm taking George for a walk. So in a way I have a lot to thank George for, so it means that Bill gets to take part, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. There we go, that's really sweet. And Bill too, T-H-O-O, on Instagram. You should definitely check out his work, anybody who hasn't yet done so. That's awesome. So Claire, you've got a couple of photo shoots coming up. Are these kind of like personal projects? Are they ones for exhibition? Are they, what kind of things are you doing?
I've got a personal projects, which I do hope to exhibit. One with myself, you know, one with my self-portraits, and another one I'm planning with other people, other ladies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tell us more, Claire. I want to know more.
Old ladies. That's all I'll say. Older ladies.
Old ladies. Wait. Old ladies.
No. Well, yeah. Older ladies. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'm sort of trying to set that up. Yeah.
Are these going to be in Anglesey? Have you got a
These will be. I'm hoping to do some interiors and some outdoors as well. Yeah. And then I'm looking for, the weather's been just so terrible here anyway, full of rain. So I've been tempted to get some lovely Spanish sunshine and make some work over there.
Ooh, that does sound very fun.
Yeah, later
on. Is that something that you have got set up ready, or is it just a little idea at the moment, or are you kind of
It's something I'm planning. Yeah, something I'm planning. So I'm always planning. I'm already getting quite anxious because it's coming to the end of March now, isn't it? We're going into April, so I can already feel like the year is just going. So it's making me sort of, you know, get everything, lots of things in place. So I'll be busy. So I've got something, I know I've got 1, 2, 3, probably 4 different photo things that I'll be working on between now and July.
Great.
That'll keep me busy, won't it?
Absolutely. And yeah. In terms of the one that you mentioned that you're doing as a personal project, but that you're hoping to exhibit, have you got a venue for that to be exhibited in? Is it going to be as part of a festival? How are you submitting that?
I haven't got anything yet, but I'll be. But that's another thing. I'll be sort of like plan it, but I'm still going to create the work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Claire, I'm interested. What is your main medium for this stuff now? Because I know last year when you were doing the work for the Reveler T thing, you really got into using medium format cameras.
Yeah,
is that that what you're sticking with now? What are you using?
Well, I'm going to be using a couple of formats. So most, yeah, medium format and instant.
Yeah. And have you bought yourself a medium? Because I think you had one on loan last year. Is that right?
I bought it. Oh. I've bought it. So it says, and this one is the negative size, is it 6x4 or something?
6x4.5.
4.5, yes. It's a bit
like my Rolly. So yeah, it's basically like a big 35mm neg, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
a ratio.
It's a step up from 35mm, so it's a big step evolution. Up. Yeah, but I'm also, and I do like it, but I'm also thinking, like you, Rachel, I think I might get I'd like eventually to get Hasselblad, because I do love square format.
It's classic from the instant stuff that you work in, isn't it? That I can see that would lend itself more naturally, I suppose, is like, the square format's what you've always sort of worked in with that, so taking that to you know, film, I suppose. But
but I didn't work, because I went to you know, I went to, we had Brian's funeral in the Black Country, so I went to that, and then we had a celebration of his life in London, and I went to that, and what I did was, because I had an overnight, I did some work overnight, sort of one afternoon and also overnight on the medium format camera.
What kind of things are you shooting with them?
That's me and my characters. My characters. Oh,
okay. Yeah. But whilst you were there, whilst you were away.
Whilst I was there. Yeah.
Interesting. How did you find that differed then from what you usually do? Because it's normally local, isn't it, at home?
Yeah. Because I'm using a different camera, which I kind of was used to. I got used to it when I was doing all my night shoots and my night portraits. So it was getting used to that again. And obviously, you realise, because you know, I'm starting to do my projects again, I always forget how, when you're working on yourself and you're doing the camera and you're doing you're doing everything, it's always quite more work than you realise. But it's getting used to the lenses as well of that camera.
Was it a Mamiya you got, Claire?
Yeah. Yeah, a Mamiya 645. Yeah, so it's a lovely camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so I'm just getting used to that. And it's got a self-timer, which is always a priority for everything. Every camera I have, I have to have a self-timer.
Oh, that's just reminded me, actually. Do you ever work with like a really long cable release or anything? Or do you always just work with the self-timer? So you never have a cable shot?
I have got cable releases, but I prefer working with, I'm not really giving them that much of a go, but I usually work with, you know, basically a timer, you know, press the button and you've got so many seconds to go. That's how
I was just thinking about it the other day, and I was like, Mandy Left, who does the Only Films podcast for us on Sunny 16 Presents, she did a project relatively recently, but it was on self-portraiture, and it was her in the studio and things with like 4 rollies and what have you.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I've always struggled with self-portrait, but it's more that I wanted to try a few things out. And when there's only you there, you're the person to be there, really. I was trying to figure out a way of doing it when I don't have the option for a self-timer. So I was like, maybe just a really long cable release, obviously, would be the way to go. So I was having a look around for those And actually somebody in the WhatsApp group for She Hearts Film recommended, and actually it's Bristol Cameras do some really long ones. I'm sure there's other suppliers as well, but that was just the one that they mentioned. I think there was like a 6 meter and a 10 meter, and I thought, oh, I might just try and grab one of those and see how that goes, because I haven't really done any of that yet, and it would be nice to try it out. So yeah
definitely. You can see, I mean, that documentary I watched, I think I mentioned it on the previous show, of Cindy Sherman, that was good. But if you look at some of her images, you can actually see the cable in them.
Mm-hmm. There was a really good, I'm so sorry, I can't think of the photographer's name, but they were part of an exhibition that was on at the Open Eye Gallery. I'm wondering whether it was part of the Sony World Photography Awards, possibly. And they had a really long cable release, but the subjects basically took their own photo. So the photographer was there and kind of like directed the setup and kind of like got the camera and the equipment to the space. Yeah. But then it was all about the subject themselves got to choose the moment that they would actually.
Really like that idea.
I thought it was an interesting one, because it raises those questions of who's the photographer, of course, but it was just, in terms of the reasons that they'd done it, it was about trying to make the subject feel less vulnerable, like that they were in control of it. Because in terms of the subject matter, it wasn't a kind of like happy portraits kind of situation. It was more about empowering people. I just thought it's interesting, isn't it, about like how different ways that we can try and take self-portrait. Or help other people to take self-portraits as well.
Well, that's it. I'm moving a bit to, in an ideal world, what I'd like is an assistant for some of my shoots who could be there so that I could set the cameras up and stuff. And, you know, they could be like, I could say, is it, you know, for more complex shots especially, am I definitely, you know, am I in focus? And then can you just press the button if I can just set everything up and then have someone with me to that? I think that would be, that would be really nice.
That's always the issue that I find with something like using my Rolly or something. How on earth do I figure out that it's definitely in focus? What would your tips be with this, Claire? Like, how do you make sure that that works?
Well, when I'm I think it's harder indoors, because although what I try and do is, where am I going to stand? Okay, what can I focus on? Is there something I can move and push out of the way? If not possible, then it's kind of like having to literally kind of visualize literally where I'm going to stand. If I'm outdoors, I find it easy because I can take stuff that I can stand in the place of me. I think I've said this before, so,
and then literally throw it out shot.
yeah so like I have a little fishing net, kids fishing net, you know, and I can put it in the sand, and I just got it from like a local shop, so I can put that, especially if it's sand or something, where I'm going to stand and just focus on that. And if you can get one that's roughly, you know, as tall as your workout, work out how tall it is and how much extra view goes on, then I can focus on that and then just check it out of the, you know, out of the shop.
But if nothing else, you need an assistant to do the behind the scenes of you setting the self-timer going and then legging it to get into shot, and then hitting this child's like fishing like net and throwing it out shot. I think that would be hilarious.
But it is tough, because like the last body of work I did, which was in this hotel room with the Mamiya camera, it's got a self timer, and it's very fragile. Well, you'll know the camera's quite fragile, so I was worried that even just pressing the button, because it's a lever, that am I gonna nudge the camera on the tripod, it's gonna move just a tiny bit, am I gonna make it blurry? And then, because I was in, you know, you're in heels and different things, you've got to like run around at the time and do your pose. So I still really enjoy it, though. That's the thing. I still get a lot of enjoyment. But there's times I think, oh, do you know what? Now would be really lovely if there was another person with me.
Yeah.
It's also...
That could stomach it.
It's also one of those things that as you're changing medium becomes more important. Because when you're shooting with Polaroids or with Diane's or stuff like that, critical focus is less of an issue because, like, the image sharpness is not...
Yeah.
But, and then with 35 mil, it's more of a thing, but with medium format, there's more sharpness and there's also a shallower depth of field. So it's just you're increasing what you can do and what you can show, and like the literal resolution of your images, but it is making it harder and harder to do. I was listening to, I think it was on the most recent Grainsplaining, listening to, not the most recent, actually, the one before, because Emma's been putting out quite a few of, or Billy's been putting out on Emma's behalf, I should say, more correctly. But she was talking to Laura, I think, who's at Lozcam, anyway, who did the initial shoots for their launch of the Grainsplaining channel. Great pictures, but she does quite a lot of self-portrait. And yeah, as exactly as you were saying, Claire, a lot of using something else to give you something to focus on that you can then shove out of the way. It's not easy. It's not easy with manual focus cameras.
And it isn't with medium format. And like, there's a couple of shots I realised, I thought, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing this image. And then when I scanned the negative, it was like really completely out of focus. So it just missing it that much, you know, and I thought, oh, I need to be closer. So I'm still kind of learning because I've worked with other cameras for longer. But it would be nice to get an assistant, someone to be with. And actually in that Cindy Sherman documentary, you realised as well that she had a boyfriend of hers at one point who was helping her. So again, you could say who, you know, I know it raises questions. People go, well, he took the picture, not yours, but the concept was all hers. She chose the location. She was like, I'm going to be here. And she must have set it up and he would do it. But it just makes life easier. So she used her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing the button is not taking the is not making the picture.
Cool. it's good to know, Claire, that all these things that I was like, I'm clearly doing something wrong here. it's actually that this is just the situation, and that everybody who works with self-portraiture goes through these quandaries and these difficulties and challenges and things. So. I guess the thing is you're like decreasing the margin for error, increasing the margin for error.
Well, I'm increasing it. And also now one of my ideas is again, you know, on medium format. And like I've said, you've seen this dress, my white off the shoulder.
Yeah, lovely.
Fringed dress. I've got one in black coming as well. So I'm going to have two of me, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
As a double exposure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But and of course, because on the Mamiya, you know, you can do really quite good ones because you don't have, you know, but I know it's a lot of work in that. So potentially I might get, I know what I want to capture. Mm. You say, Rachel, the margin for error. Yeah.
Is margin for error, yeah.
But then I'll do a few of them. And hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do like, okay, this is the image I've got in my head. This is how I'm going to do it. And I'll do it, say, four times and think, well, let's pray that one out of four is
usable. Correspondingly, you know, like if three don't work out, correspondingly, you are going to be so excited about the image that does work, right? You know, I suppose.
I still really enjoy the process. I still really like, you know, like this, thinking of my outfits, getting them through the post, planning it. I still really like running around hotel rooms or whatever I am on my own, full of makeup and whatever, heels. And then I still get a real buzz when you get the negatives have been developed and processed and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to scan them now, you know. I still really love that. You look at your negative, oh, I've got images, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the worst. You put all that effort and money and time and then you're like, oh, there's no images.
Claire, the amount of times I'm like, okay, so we're all about setting expectations in the workshops that I do, just in case, especially when I haven't been there to like oversee the whole process. So if somebody's gone and dropped their roll of film, obviously you don't know, you know, what the camera's been like, if it's been serviced, have they shot this roll of film before, is it just literally they found it on a market stall and bought it for 10 quid and they've dropped a roll of film in. You might well get lucky, but equally there's a lot of margin for error there, isn't there? Trying to figure out, you know, trying to set those expectations for myself as well as the other people is always has been the biggest thing that I've learned over the years, of like just making sure that you kind of like are coming to it from a similar from a similar point, I suppose. Because then it can only ever be like a positive thing, either it's a learning experience or it's actually you've got some cool images at the end. So we try and you know, look at it in that way, I suppose. Graham is like, I'm not sure about this. Why?
I'd be my assistant, Graham.
If you were geographically closer, Claire, I would love to. But however, there's a 3.5 to 4 hour journey would make it difficult. Otherwise, I would gladly be there helping you with your insanity. And yeah, as far as I'm concerned, there's a bingo card for cock-ups that we all have to fill in.
Yeah.
And what I'm realizing is that it is a potentially infinite bingo card. You think, well, every time you go, I filled it. No, hang on, there's more boxes. How are there more boxes?
I didn't turn over the sheet.
Yeah, turn over the sheet and then turn it back over again and there's more boxes. It never ends. Yeah, it's good. I'm really excited to see more of the stuff you're doing with Medium Format because I think it's great. But. It's a shame that it is not a cheap medium to, it's just one of those things, isn't it? It's the cost of doing what you want to do with it.
I think photography anyway, isn't it? For all of us, film, it is just expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I know I've said it before.
The film, the processing, the cameras, you know, I keep seeing cameras now. Oh yeah, I'd like this camera, this lens, and you're just like, it's more money and outfits and I still love it.
Absolutely, you have to do it's your art and you have to do things the way that you want them to be. And I was talking to, when we'll get on to talk off show in a second, but having conversations about specifically with color, which is what you always shoot for obvious reasons. For me, medium format film in color is lovely, and I will continue to shoot that because it looks lovely and it's got a real feel to it. In 35 millimeter, if it's just ordinary film, I'm probably not going to. I'll probably pick up a digital camera and shoot that because there's not enough of a reason there to make it worth the expense. Not that I shoot a great deal of color anyway. You know, if it's something different, if it's some Phoenix or some Lomachrome purple or something like that, it's doing something funky, different story. But if it's just straight up color in 35 millimeter, I've got a full frame camera, digital camera. I'll use that for the limited number of times that that's going to be a thing. So black and white for life, yo.
I guess also talking of margin for error and things outside of your control as well, and things that we try over time to rectify or minimize, you know, these challenges and things. At the photography show this year, I took along my instant box camera for the first time. It was great to go and take it. It was really brilliant to have it there and to sort of challenge myself as well as a photographer in a different environment. Because whenever I take these things out or run a workshop or something, if it's outside of my environment, you don't know what setup's like. You don't know how the lighting's going to be.
Yeah.
There's also all sorts of, obviously, for obvious reasons, health and safety situations. So I couldn't have like tripods out. I couldn't, with extra lights, I couldn't use any fill. I couldn't do, you know, all of these other things that I might normally have done in my own studio space and things, because people were moving through the space that I had, which is a great space. But there was also obviously cyanotype chemistry out and things. So I have to manage that and make sure that it still feels safe and things. But I'd pre-flashed a load of paper to take with me to the photography show, already cut up and everything, which is a surprisingly long process when you're not sure, or I wasn't sure how many I was likely to need. So you're kind of like making a best guess of like, well, it might be this many sheets cut up into this many sheets so that it'll fit in.
Yeah.
So pre-flashing the paper and then you're measuring it out in the darkroom and then cutting it by hand, and actually trying to do that is actually quite a long time consuming process.
Yeah.
You always want to make sure you've got more than not enough, but then you also, on the flip side of that, you don't want to be getting through a box of 50 sheets and going, oh my god, you know, like that's a heck of a chunk of money to if it's not going to get used and stuff. So I had got it all planned out and I got, you know, my enlarger ready set up. I knew the settings for this, was all fine. And then of course at the last moment it stopped working.
Oh no. What, the enlarger?
Yeah, my enlarger just stopped that day. So it'd been working in the morning and it just stopped at lunchtime. And I was literally, I planned to go in for 45 minutes after the lunch break, and basically that was my time to pre-flash my paper and to get it measured and to get it cut and get it all set up. And yeah, just for a reason, I found out the reason it was just to do with the contacts actually of the bulb, fingers crossed. But I only found that out afterwards, of course, because at the time just didn't have any opportunity to deal with it. So instead I had to use my other enlarger. I've got like three sort of already set up. But of course I didn't know the settings. I hadn't already pre-tested that. I was just making a guess.
It's stressful, isn't it?
So it was very stressful. And I was like, oh, what do I do? That was my only option, really. So I ended up pre-flashing a load of paper and just kind of hoping. And then went along, got it all set up, which is an extraordinarily long process to kind of like get everything there anyway. I'm feeling quite on edge about, like, is this going to work or not? And I did a couple of tests. And I did one sort of like first kind of portrait for a couple.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was basically, I realized pretty much immediately, like once I'd got the print back out, because I'd done the like test shoot and I was like, oh, this is actually, it's okay, no problem. And then I got it back out like the following morning to show somebody, and I went, oh no, it's not, something had gone wrong. And basically, without it being a controlled environment, you're kind of just going, well, what's the variable? You know, it's been in the car, it's driven, you know, driven there. Had I knocked the wooden camera, you know, had the paper fogged because it been in the paper box, you know, inside, or something that had got nudged, and all of these things. Normally when you're in your own environment, you can figure it out because you just very methodically go through step by step, oh, this is the problem. But I just wasn't sure, you know, so it was a bit of a tricky one. So in the end, what I ended up doing was going, okay, well, I don't know if it's the chemistry, I don't know if it's the paper, I don't know if it was the pre-flash. So I ended up buying a whole new bunch of paper from Ilford. I ended up buying just brand new chemistry just in case. And of course, I had no dark room there with me, because again, I can't set that up on site.
Yeah.
So I had to go without being pre-flashed, and I thought, I'm going to just give it a go in the bathroom of the hotel just to try and see. So I did a few sheets, and my fantastic assistant Hillary, bless her, was basically stood outside. I was like, okay, hit it on off, let's just try, because you never know, sometimes these things work. And it didn't work. I'm glad I tried, I'm glad I gave it a go, because I would have been thinking, it would have, at some point it might have worked. It just completely blasted out, unfortunately, massively overexposed it. But in the end, I took some of the like 10x8, and in the dark bag, I was in the dark bag, basically behind my stand, behind the chemistry cabinet, on the floor, in the dark bag, basically trying to like rip the paper up into pieces. So I went with it just non-pre-flashed. But again, it's like going back to what I was saying before, it's about setting expectations. So I realized that there was a problem. I was like, let's just get rid of this bunch of paper. There's no point using that. I tried another solution that also hadn't worked. So I thought, right, what else can I do? So I got my bike light and I got my like LED lights and everything. I was sort of trying to figure out how to use that. But in the end, I thought, let's just go with non-pre-flashed. It'll be a lot more contrasty, and I'll just make sure that people know that this is the kind of like the final image you're likely to get from it. So you get a lot more contrast, a lot more black and white, rather than the mid-tones that you would normally see in that paper and what I would normally deliver, you know, in my studio setting or something. So it was just about going, okay, this is what you're more likely to get from the situation that we find ourselves. And the exposure times actually were about between like 8 seconds and 11 seconds there. So actually it wasn't too bad. That it does feel like a long time, but it is still doable. Because we're in a building that has like no light. There's no outdoor light. There's literally just sort of like the strip kind of like lights overhead. And I'm working with paper at an ISO of 6, let's say, or 4 or something. So actually it wasn't too bad, and it's a time that people could sit still for, and I was really pleased actually with how they ended up coming out after the first couple of tests. But
I was going to say, so it's 8x10 that
so do you mean in size? Sorry.
yeah
No, 6x4. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I was taking a piece of 10x8 paper. Oh.
And trimming it down.
Exactly,
yeah.
By hand in the dark bag. Yeah. I had a few people going, what's she doing now? Hiding behind this layer, like on the floor. I'll be with you in a minute, but hands in the dark bag.
Did you do many? Were you busy doing portraits for people?
It was busy. It was really busy, as it always is at the photography show. There were because I had some trials, obviously on the Saturday, tried again for the Sunday, and then went, okay, what's my other option? So sort of like by Sunday afternoon, I was like, I'm just going to go with non pre-flashed paper as it is. Let's just, you know, see how that comes out. Then it was more test. So I did probably most of the portraits on the sort of like Monday, Tuesday, actually. This is alongside doing the cyanotype stuff, of course, for the photography show itself. So thankfully I had Hillary there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because she really like was able to kind of keep on top of that and make sure that that was functioning as it should. So I could try and demonstrate the camera, because obviously not everybody was wanting to pay for portrait, but they wanted to see, they were curious about the camera and how it worked and everything. So that was really nice. I got to demonstrate that. And then I did three talks as well over that.
Yeah.
So there was one on the Saturday, which was about darkroom, and kind of I wanted to just make a kind of like introductory case for why people who were shooting analog, you know, should at least attempt to like get into a darkroom at some point, because it's magic. You know? So that was sort of Saturday. So it was really packed and everybody seemed very enthusiastic, got some really nice questions from that. And then Monday was one on film and analog for weddings and events. And obviously I do and have done in the past hybrid. So it was kind of that kind of thing. And then on the Tuesday, it was on the Instant Box camera, which was an interesting one because I had it set up literally like to my right, but I had to be on the analog showcase stage talking about it. So I was sort of showing pictures of it and going, it's literally just over there. And it's one of those things where it's so a physical thing that it's easier to just show somebody there. But I think that was really good to have, because it was something that they hadn't really seen before. Not everybody's seen. And I think a few people have gone away going, ooh, all looking for a good wooden box. And I guess that's the thing. I'd had the idea of like wanting this kind of setup for a long time, but I'd got myself stuck in the, well, I have to build it myself, obviously, kind of mindset, because that's often the way I approach things. I'm like, well, if I'm not doing literally every single part of this myself, then how can I possibly call myself a photographer? How can I possibly be, you know, like the person who's doing this? And I realized that the amount of time that I have now is so limited. How am I ever going to get the time to learn how to be a woodworker first to then build myself my own instant Afghan box camera? So I realized best way to do it is just to go and buy the one that I did from a kit and put that together.
Yeah.
So that is what I did. And it's meant that I'm actually in the position now where I can use it and I can actually do the thing that I'm trained to do, you know, that I love doing and to do. It just makes more sense. So that's been an interesting new challenge this year at the photography show for me. And I guess my biggest regret, if you like, or like the saddest part of it, is that I did not see any of the show. I have no idea what else was going on, because I was just on my stand for like the 4 days. Even with Hillary assisting me, it was still absolutely crazy trying to like kind of like leave that. I saw some of the other bits, you know, literally in front of me on the stand, on the other spaces, but none of the rest of the show at all, unfortunately. So hopefully Graham will give us an update now. So that's kind of what I've been up to. Graham, tell me what else was happening at the show.
I saw all of the show that was within, I would say, a 30 to 40 foot radius of your stand. This is the first year where we, or the first year in a very long time, since I think maybe the first year we went, where we didn't actually record anything. I took stuff with me to record, and then decided I actually just wanted to chat to people this year. And also, whilst there was plenty of stuff to talk to people about, there was nothing new there's like weren't loads of new developments happening. So it's like, actually, you know what? We've done this a few times, but had a great time. I love those events because they are just the best time, just catching up with all of our friends. It was fabulous for that. So some of the conversation I did have, this was one that I had that I did think about recording, but I'll just give you the short okay. answer to the question. I was talking to Matt at Ilford, mm-hmm. Ilford Harmon, and one of the questions I wanted to ask him about was around chemicals, because I've heard a few conversations, seen a few conversations online recently about there being an issue with the availability of chemicals. I've seen a few theories floating around that, oh, you know, they can't get them because they need certain ingredients for medicine and all sorts of stuff like this, and that yeah. there is a problem with the availability of chemicals. So I asked Matt about this. I said, look, is there a problem with chemical availability? What's going on? And he said, no, there isn't. There has been, because the company who were making the chemicals for Ilford went out of business. This was Tetnal, who had difficulties over the... Claire's making a scarf out of her dress now. Yeah. Not the one she's wearing. I want to make that. Yes. Anyway. So they were using Tetnal. Tetnal went bust or went to a receivership, whatever. And so there has been a delay, but Ilford have now got somebody new all sorted out. So the chemicals are going to be coming back into the market. There is no problem. And I think Kodak have been going through a very similar situation.
Yeah.
The people they were using went kaput or could no longer serve them. They have now found somebody new. So there is no long-term problem with the availability of film or paper chemicals. There's just been a bit of a hiccup in supply, and now everything is going to get back into gear and get going again. So that was something I really wanted to ask about, because yeah. I've just seen a bit of stuff floating around, and it starts to make me go, oh, is this a thing to worry about?
Good update.
Mm. It's not. So that's good. On the subject of film and developers, rather, saw James Lane. He was there from Zone Imaging Lab. Great to see him there with his 510 Pyro and his EcoFix and his new Aqua Obsidian. Great, always lovely to catch up with James. So he's doing well. Dave was there from the Alfie Titch cameras. Again, no new updates from them as such, but Dave's going well, looking now to really get the Alfie Titch out into broader markets. I mean, it's a fantastic camera. He's made a fantastic camera, and that just needs to get on. The guys from Intrepid were there, as always. Mm. Again, no particular news from there, although they have kind of soft launched their 4x5 double darts, like the film holders, yes. which is great. So this is now, up until this point, buying film holders for 4x5, you've mostly been looking at buying old ones, and there are quite a lot around there, but it's not an infinite supply, and the quality, they do wear out and break. Intrepid have been working on bringing some new ones to market. I said this is a soft launch because they want to make sure they're right before they go big, but they are out there now, people are using them, and they should come fully to market very soon. So that's very exciting. Mm. I also asked Naomi about how the new lens and shutter was progressing. That's coming along well, so that's also very exciting. Saw Steve Lloyd from Chroma Cameras. He didn't have a stand there, but I saw Steve, which was always great. I actually bought from Steve Lloyd. Normally, I don't buy anything at the photography show. I spent nearly £200 at the photography show this year on two things. So one of the things, and I showed you this when I was there, Rach, it was the Chroma double glass lens. This is the lens we talked to you about before. So it's a very simple double meniscus lens designed by Jason Lane over in... sorry, just distracted by a message. Apparently it's hailing in Liverpool. We don't have that kind of weather down here in Oxford.
Hailing? You've not heard of hailing?
No, we don't have that. We just have very civilized, gentle rain and sunshine. It's a very simple lens, but it's a very well-designed glass lens designed by Jason Lane out in the States. Fantastic lens designer, professional lens designer. It's 24 millimeters, so it's quite wide, and it's a fixed f11, so there's no focusing, there's no aperture changing. And I bought this because I want to use it with my lovely Leica 3A. 3A, is that the one? I can never remember which one. Anyway, my lovely Leica 3, yeah, which Rachel bought me. Because it's a camera I really want to use, but the reality is that it's got two viewfinder windows, one for setting focus, one for framing the picture, and they're both quite small, and it's not the most straightforward thing to do. So I haven't been using it as much as I would like. And I thought, actually, if I just put this lens on that doesn't need any focusing and is wide angle, and I bought from eBay, Steve gave me a link to just a little plastic viewfinder with 24mm to like put in the hot shoe, cold shoe, this will be great. I can now walk around, use it for street photography, whatever, and it's going to make it made more useful. So that's great. Mm-hmm. The lens is really well made, nice metal surround, nice metal cover for it as well, screen cover, and it's as thin as a lens cap, basically.
It's very small, isn't it? Like
it really is.
What is this? It looks amazing, like so different from what you would expect to see on that kind of camera. And I just think, isn't that brilliant that you've got such a combination of actually really quite an old camera from 1930s, is it? I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Plus a lens from 2024, and I did say, or 2023, last year maybe. But isn't that fantastic that we've got that nice combination, and that it means that the most important thing is that's a really creative way of getting that camera back into use for you, Graham, because like you say, you were wanting to shoot with it, but you just weren't finding that it was set up in the way that made sense for you. And I think that's super important to notice those things and go, there's a reason that this isn't working. What can I do to solve that? And you've come up with a perfect solution for that. So yeah, I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Very excited about that. So it is only available in the M39 mount, which so it'll fit on Leica screw mount lenses, screw mount cameras, but it will also fit onto things like Fed cameras and Zorkies, of which there are many out there, and they're really cheap. So well worth looking into. The other exciting thing about this lens, which was really good to talk to Steve about, and he actually had one of his prototypes there, is he is about to imminently going to be kickstarting a new camera. Now it is called I think it's called the Click. I can't remember the Chroma Click. I think it's called the Chroma Click. And it is a very simple camera. It's a 35mm camera. If you think along the lines of something like a Holga, in terms of the simplicity, very simple shutter that you use. It's a Steve camera, so it uses magnets to get the shutter speed. It's got one shutter speed. It's a viewfinder camera, very well made, as all Steve's cameras are, and it uses the same lens that I've got on this. So that's the big difference between this and a lot of the other cameras. The actual optics in it, whilst they're simple optics, they're very well designed, very high quality optics. So Steve's going to be kickstarting this camera soon, and I'm really excited about it because it's a cool, fun camera that is very simple but should produce some really nice image quality. I saw some of the pictures that Steve got from it, so that's very cool.
I haven't had a chance to see those yet. That would be nice to see.
Yeah, the other thing that Steve had that I was quite so he's got a again, I can't remember what the name of his cameras are, but it's a panoramic camera. And this is a 35mm camera that will give you the same frame size as an X-Pan will, but for much less money. And he's been selling these for a while. And you can use them either with a large format lens with a cone or with the Mamiya press lenses from the Mamiya press cameras. But obviously not everybody has those or has access to them.
Yeah.
So what he started doing now is you can either send him a Holga or he can source a Holga, and he'll put a Holga lens on the front of this camera, because a Holga lens has enough coverage with some vignetting, but enough coverage so you can take an image that is, like I said, the same frame size, not the same scale, but actually it's slightly larger than an X-Pan. X-Pans cost £2,500-£3,000 plus.
They're lovely.
They are lovely, but they're £2,500-£3,000. Yeah. Whereas I think Steve's camera, I think, is about £350-£400. Mm. A Holga lens is about going to cost you about another £50. For under £500, you can get this thing and experiment with it and see if actually it's the right thing for you. So I thought that was very cool. Always good to see Steve and catch up with him about that stuff. Who else was there? I know lots of other lovely people there. It really was just a day of talking to you. Hamish was there. It was so nice to see Hamish. Haven't seen Hamish since the Unlock Spotlight. So lovely to catch up with him. And I think he's doing, I think hopefully, I mean, I think it's a ways off yet, so I won't speak out of turn, but I think there's actually more pixelatory stuff going to be happening in the future with that. Mm-hmm. So that's always good. I'm going to definitely forget about people I've seen, but
you saw Paul, I think, from Analog Wonderland, possibly.
Tried mostly to avoid Paul. No, Paul was there. Always loved to see him. He was giving a talk as well. Mm. I saw.
Did
a
you
bit
see
of,
my talk, Graham? No,
I did see. I saw a bit of your talk, but I had been off. Actually, that's a reminder. I had been off having a cup of tea and a Portuguese custard tart with Simon Forster and his son Andrew. So you know, that had been happening.
Did you give me a custard tart, a Portuguese custard tart? I'm very sad now.
I know. I'm sorry. I do feel a tiny smidgy bit bad.
Was Anil there?
No, Anil wasn't there. At least not on the day that I was there. I don't know whether you saw him, Rachel.
Did you see him, Rachel?
I didn't see him. I'm not sure whether he was able to make it or not. But unfortunately, no, he didn't. He didn't get to the stand if he did make it to the show. Yeah. So Age was there, obviously.
Age was there. Yes, that was that was Michael. A lovely surprise. Yes, lovely to see Aid. A very bearded Aid. And also very nice to see, and a surprise to me, John Michael Mendieza was there, which was a really nice surprise, over from Germany. So that was lovely. It was, if people have not been to the photography show, the community catch up bit is the best part of it as far as the analog photography. It was lovely in the evening, as we have done historically for a very long time now. We all went to the bar nearby, the Weatherspoons bar on site, and there were so many of us there because there was also a great contingency of people down from, it's Leeds, isn't it, where Mandy left and her crowd, and I use the crowd not meant in a disparaging way, but just because I do not know the names of it. The only name I do know, Sandra, was there. I spoke to Sandra a bit. Be a great crowd of people there, and there were so many people there. The guys from Ilford and Trepid and Analog Wonderland, and everybody just all sat in the bar. It's lovely, and it's the best reason to go there to catch up with people. And the other thing I bought, just actually to fill in, because I know people will be desperate to know, the other thing that I've bought, so I bought my lens, which honestly I've been kicking myself for not buying at the Analog Spotlight, and I bought some film. I bought 30 meters of Ilford HP5.
Oh my word.
Because
I've been bulk rolling, right? It's always gone so well in the past, Graham.
I know, exactly. The thing is, I went up into my shed recently, went, oh, I need some, you know, reasonable speed black and white film, and there wasn't any. There was none. And I've got no 400 speed black and white film. What's going on? I don't have much black and white film in 35 minutes. So I just went, screw it. I ummed and ahed a bit more. I just went, nah, nuts to it, and bought the biggest roll I could find there. So, listen, it's got to go better than the 200 meters the 200 feet of 200T that I've still got left.
Was that stand there? Oh, I thought it was fantastic. The one with, I don't know, is it for disabled dogs or something?
The disabled dog stand. Yeah, we can go and buy a disabled dog. Yeah. You mean the disabled photographer's stand?
Oh, yeah. It's a dog.
And yes, okay. That was there. I
was all amazed because that is just like
your disabled photographer's society.
I think it was disabled dogs.
Well, actually, there are the guide dogs are there.
I've muddled.
Yeah, but the guide dogs are there as a stand. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So the disabled photographer's stand is amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
It is amazing. What I was amazed by, I wandered over there. Yeah. I walked around, I went, nuts to this, because it was so crowded there. I just went, nah, I walked away. I thought there was no camera on this planet that exists so badly that I want to deal with that crowd of humanity. So I left again.
Even their like camera bags and boxes and stuff are incredible.
Yeah.
And this was,
Simon bought a big nerd bag whilst he was there.
Because you can see the stuff that you think, oh, I'd like that.
Yeah.
Heard it was about four deep at one point on the Saturday morning. So I did sort of vaguely say hello as I ran past to try and get my stand set up, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to manage to make it back, unfortunately, to see it. And I did wonder how things had been going, but I knew it would be absolutely crazy. The other people who were there literally opposite me, pretty much. I had James kind of like on my left, and I had Ilford were kind of like on the right, but straight ahead of me I had obviously Dave from Alfie Titch, and the chaps from How I Roll.
This is How I Roll, yes. Yeah. We met them at the Analog Showcase, didn't we?
I was going to say, I think you met them at the Analog Spotlight, I think, actually, Graham, because I remember you did like a little interview with them and things. So it was their first time coming to do the big show at the NEC, at the photography show. So I think that was really a really interesting, fun experience to do that for the first time. And they absolutely saved me, because somebody came on at the end of Saturday and would my card machine work with it? No, it wouldn't. So thankfully they sorted that out. So we've got that done. So big shout out to them for helping with that. That was very helpful.
Yeah, it was really good. I have to say, as the person who only had to go for one day, well, that's enough. How you managed to make it through 4 days, I don't know. I was shattered just from talking, but...
Honestly, like, it's not even the 4 days is the thing, because like we were talking about before we started the call, Graham, you know, I start literally just the packing kind of thing, all the prep sort of happened beforehand over the, you know, weeks beforehand. And then I start packing on the Thursday, and actually physically getting all the stuff from the dark room and the studio out and into the car and through the trolley and all the rest of it. That takes like a day. So that's like Thursday. And then Friday was basically traveling down and getting there, meeting Hillary and getting everything out of the car into the thing, because you have like, I have like a 60 minute time slot to get there from Liverpool and hope that I make it, you know, with the traffic and stuff, to drop everything off. Clearly the heavens obviously opened the moment I got there, and so it was one of those. And that was Friday gone. I was up till I think about 12:30 on Friday night, basically getting everything ready for the Saturday. And then it was just non-stop on the Saturday, from got in there from 8:00 in the morning, show opened at 10, and literally didn't stop the whole time. And then obviously Saturday evening, so you've got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then trying to get back, of course, as well. So I ended up going from the NEC to family in the Midlands, and then driving back on the Wednesday. But then you've also got, I've now got to get all this stuff back into the studio, into the dark rooms. That took me another day basically to do that. And suddenly it's like, that's a whole week. Because by the time I got to that point, it was pretty much the end of Wednesday. And I'd started the previous Thursday, if you like, to try and do this. So, being a one-woman band makes things interesting, definitely. It was amazing to have that extra pair of hands this year. I did actually manage to treat myself to go into the toilet a couple of times, and I had the odd drink and something to eat occasionally. Hillary was great at keeping me alive. That's the biggest part of it. It's just exhaustion, really, from that. After 4 days, my voice was so shot. By the Monday, I basically couldn't speak. So I got to the pub, and I was like, I just need a glass of wine or something. And I couldn't actually articulate this. My voice was, I know, right? So Joshua, actually, from Intrepid, happened to have some little Strepsils. So that is my go-to for next year. I'm like, make sure they're in the bag, along with the ibuprofen for the headache. From all the lights and all the noise. I've got my little loops. I don't know if you've come across them, but they're really great. They're like in-ear little earplugs kind of thing, but they still allow you to be able to hear conversations and stuff. So for anybody who really suffers, you know, with overwhelmed from noise and things like that, I would definitely recommend those loops. They're great. So I have those, and then the ibuprofen, and then the Strepsils. Never even thought about that before, but yeah. For the voice, that was my top tips from the photography show.
You know, just rewinding back to the disabled photographer's stand, apologies, but I don't know why I got that wrong. that's a really good I mean, it's a great stand, but it's a really good cause. And so do people donate then? Is that how it works, that if you don't have any camera equipment that you maybe don't want to sell, or you don't want, or you just think it's a great cause, you donate, they sell it for to benefit disabled photographers? So that's a good, that's really good.
it's like over the course of the year, they basically save up all the donations that people send into them and then sell them at the photography show. And they are the registered charity for the photography show. So it's sort of like their own sort of like charity. It's not related to the photography show. Sorry if that wasn't clear. But they are, the main charity partner, I suppose, if you like, and that. And it means, can you imagine the storeroom? And trying to like deal with like going through all of through all the stuff. But yeah, that's basically how it works. That they sell it off over the course of those 4 days and then start again, I guess, you know, for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great event. I have to be honest, I went into it thinking, I don't know if it's gonna, you know, this year. I felt a little bit like it probably doesn't feel like it's gonna be great this year.
You're very grumpy about it.
I was a bit, because I don't know why. I think maybe because maybe because I'm just a miserable old sod is perhaps the answer. But it felt a bit, partly because some of the people who were there and on the show floor just weren't on the information that I'd seen. So I was like, oh you're here.
Yeah.
But also the people who were there as, you know, visiting or whatever, just like I said, I just spent the entire day within the analog showcase constantly talking to person after person, and it was just great. And and I've come away from there thinking, when do I get to see my friends next? And along those lines thinking, okay, well, we need to get some photo walks and stuff like that in the calendar. This is the thing we need to actually start getting organized and doing, so we can, because getting together with the community is the most fun thing to do, because there's just, it's full of awesome people and it's always so nice to see them. And it was nice to see people at the weekend who I met recently at the Analog Wonderland photo walk. Corinne was there doing a talk about her wet plate self-portraits and stuff, and I got to meet her at the photography, at the photo walk. It's like, oh, this is awesome. Like,
you see, she bought all the wet books. Thank you, Corinne. It was lovely, because that was the first time I'd met her as well. And I saw that she was doing a talk, and I was like, oh, desperately want to make sure I say hello at least, you know. I caught Kate Hook at the end of her talk, thankfully. Yeah. But again, it was those kind of, you know, of each other, but you've never actually had a chance to physically meet up, you know, in person, or have like a conversation with the person. So it was lovely to do that, like you say, Graham, because often that's the biggest thing about these events, is getting that chance to do that. And there was something else that came to mind, and it's completely gone out of my head now. Oh, just, you know, you were talking about more meetups and more kind of like community-based things. A couple of things. I've set up a Discord. So for my patrons, anybody who is a Little Vintage Photography patron, I've set up a dedicated Discord for that now. And it's been lovely to kind of like see people coming into there, along with my dark room members and things. And I'm going to be doing an exhibition 19th to the 26th of April for anybody who has previously done a workshop with me, is a darkroom or studio member, or is one of my patrons. So basically anybody who's within the Little Vintage Photography kind of like community, I'm making it as an open call for, as a take, make, create, anything around black and white analog photography. Get in touch with me, so you can look at submitting your work. There's no submission fee. I'm going to take a little bit of the Patreon money to kind of like set that up and have and do the hire and what have you. So I wanted to again offer kind of like some no barriers to people actually taking part and getting some more prints up on the walls and getting an exhibition happening, and, you know, dipping your toe in the water when, you know, trying to do something like that on your own can be so overwhelming and feels too like out of reach. So I thought, let's bring everybody together to do this around that idea. And there's literally an actual Georgian bank vault next door to my studio. Yeah. So I thought this would be a fantastic place to do it. So I'm hiring that for the week. If anybody, like I say, who's done a workshop with me or is a patron or, you know, that kind of thing, get in touch and let me know about your work. It'd be fantastic to host that if possible. So there's the Discord and there's that coming up as well. And there was another thing that we were going to talk about as Sunny 16 podcast, which is our Cheap Shots Challenge, of course. Who wants to go? Graham, do you want to go with that?
I'll try and remember. Yes, so it was recently announced, and because it was on the tail end of the podcast, maybe not everybody didn't catch this, but the lovely Alex Morrison, a shug pug. I'll always remember his handle, shug pug, because it's a weird handle. Alex Morrison, who came, he was the runner-up in the competition of two, but his entry was fantastic in the most recent Cheap Shots Challenge. He picked the next challenge for us, and he has chosen history, which is great because it's another really, really broad challenge. So whatever history means to you, I mean, let's face it, most of the cameras we're shooting with could quite squarely go, well, this is a piece of history. So there's all sorts of fun stuff that can be done around that. But we hadn't actually set a date for people to get their entries in by, which we are about to do. So pay close attention. So the day, what are we still going to do? The 11th, Saturday, the 11th of May, you'll be very relieved to hear. We've given you plenty of time because the sun's just coming out. Spring is springing. The clocks are about to go forward. It's the perfect time for getting out there and taking pictures. I know it's not where you are, Rachel. It's hailing, and where you've been, Claire, it's piddling down with rain. But here in civilized Oxfordshire, it's been beautiful today. I'm in a t-shirt. I'm living my best life. It's fantastic.
This is hilarious. Look, actually, talking about that, Graham and Claire have both been sitting here in like just nice little cut off t-shirts, feeling, looking all very spring like. I am literally wearing three jumpers, my hand warmers, and another layer underneath that, and I'm like, I'm still cold.
Claire does keep approaching new ways of wearing a dress. Then I'm not quite sure what's going on with her.
She's trying out a few different looks ready for her.
That's
yummy.
Yeah. Quite okay, isn't it?
I think currently she's going with Hattie Fatner from the Moomins look, I think is what she's currently going.
What did you say, Greg? You say the clock has gone forward.
The clock
is going forward.
Oh, clock, yeah.
Clock, you know, the spring, the clock's mind. I'll explain to you after the show.
Not. So,
yes, 11th of May. So, get out there with your Cheap Shots cameras, take pictures which say something about history to you. Maybe it's a historical place, maybe, I don't know, you figure out for yourself, you know what history means. And send us your favorite images to sunny16podcast@gmail.com. yes, your two favorite images, please. If possible, make sure that they're not too big a file size, otherwise it makes it so hard to see the emails because the pictures are like five screens wide. But anyway, send us these pictures with some information about what you shot them on and stuff like that. That would be fantastic. If you can, please, if you remember, it's not the end of the world if you don't, but if you could rename the pictures, like put your name and the camera it was shot on and the title actually as the photos themselves, so it just makes it a bit easier for us when it comes to organizing. But listen, we'll figure it out if not. Please get involved.
Always the bit that I really love is always the little like artist statement around the image, because it's the story behind how you got to that point. The idea behind Cheap Shots Challenge was always to make it accessible to people and to say you don't need a lot of like fancy kit to do this. So that's always been the most fascinating part of it, is seeing how people get around these interesting challenges to create the work that we do. And I always just think, isn't it amazing what people make with these very cheap cameras? So it was originally like under 20 quid. Obviously, given circumstances these days, I guess we're sort of saying under 50 kind of thing, you know, something that is around the ethos and the idea of it being a cheap camera. Or the cheapest one you kind of own. And the idea is, of course, that you keep that camera through the subsequent rounds, which I always found really fun, because there's some cameras that are just like suited for a particular subject. That's great. But then can be really challenging to try and shoot a different subject with that same camera. And that's part of the fun of it, really. So the artist statement telling us about how you've done that, how you've come to it, what's worked, what hasn't, that's always really, really great part of it as well. And where do people need to send it, Graham?
Yep, send it to the sunny16podcast@gmail.com. Yeah, that's our email address, sunny16podcast@gmail.com. And the important thing is, don't think, oh, I won't send anything in because, you know, I'm not a great photographer. Just send your pictures in. This is a fun thing. This is for everyone. And we love seeing your pictures. We love seeing them when they go terribly wrong. We love seeing it's just because we've all been there. So
it makes me feel better.
Exactly. Listen, I don't think we've ever had a situation where any of the entries we've been sent in have been worse than some of the host pictures because they are almost as a rule terrible because we're always going, oh no, we've left it to the last minute. So yeah, please do get them involved and get them involved, get involved, get them over to us. We had only two entries for the last one. I'm hoping that you wonderful people listening to this are going to be inspired by the prompt history. It's great. And by this spring weather and the sunshine and all the loveliness that's out there, and we'll be keen to get out and take some pictures and get those into us. So yes, you have until the 11th of May. That's tons of time, but don't feel the need to leave it there late. Send them to us earlier. If you get them into us earlier, we might start talking about them earlier and discussing your pictures and stuff on the show. Yeah, that's it. Sunday16podcast@gmail.com for all your entries. And indeed, anything else you want to write to us about, we can always be found there. Is that good, Rach? Did I say it enough times?
You covered everything, I think, with that, which is brilliant. And thanks everybody, as always, for listening. Of course, is there anything else from either of you before we close the show? Anything
probably
else?
Probably, but I can't remember.
Does Bill too? Does he do? He's done one of your workshops, hasn't he? Or your development parties?
Bill takes part in the virtual film development parties. Yeah. I run these monthly as a way for, I actually sort of started it during lockdown because I needed a way of kind of keeping in contact with the community. So anybody who's in my 35mm tier on Patreon or who is a darkroom member basically gets an automatic seat as part of the monthly virtual film development parties. So I host that on Google Meet once a month, and we basically all join the call together. We process our film at the same time and or have a chat about what we've been up to, share some ideas, share some kind of like grievances or like things that have gone really well, or you know, needs for advice and that kind of thing, and kind of generally catch up. And it's lovely to see, and at the end of it you kind of come out with a roll of film, so it feels really productive as well, which is dead nice. I use it often as like a way of getting through that backlog, you know, of films that I've got that I don't get around to developing. And sometimes people use it for a way of staying motivated with what they're shooting as well, because often we have these ideas and then we don't actually get to do it. So sometimes it's a way of going, well, this is coming up. It's a nice way to kind of do that. But yeah,
I was just thinking maybe Bill will submit a nice picture of George for your exhibition.
I hope so. It would be amazing to see George on the wall in the bank vault. It would be so cute. He's so cute. So yeah, I look forward to that, Bill. Make sure you're listening, and I look forward to getting the submission.
Shall we get out of here? It's good and late.
It is. Thanks ever so much, everybody. It's been a pleasure as always to speak to you all, and huge thanks as always to our coffee donors. We couldn't literally do this without you, so much appreciated for that. You can find me on Instagram. I'm Little Vintage Photography, or obviously my website as well. Graham, where can people find you?
I'm rural Oxfordshire.
where can people find you on Instagram?
At Claire Marie Bailey.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. And of course, for the Sunny 16 podcast, Claire is our wonderful Instagram poster on there. So Sunny 16 podcast on Instagram too. Email us sunny16podcast@gmail.com. And we look forward to speaking to you all very soon.
Bye.
Bye.